The Church of God, the Eternal, presents Sacrifice for the Kingdom, number 3, a message given by Mr. Robert Burke, for the morning service of the 5th day of the Feast of Tabernacles, in Townsend, Tennessee, October 11th, 2025.
So we know that God told Israel what he wanted them to do. He gave Israel very specific instructions, after which they already understood that they were going to be a special people to him. He said, I'm going to call you out. I want you to be my special people. I'm going to isolate you from the rest of the world, and I'm calling you mine. And he said, do you want that? And you can have it. And he was very clear and explicit with all those good things that he wanted to give. And he said, if you want this promised life, if you want this promised land, if you want to be above all other nations and be blessed and continually be blessed, if you want it, you can have it because I'm giving you that choice. But there's something you got to do for it. Because I'm telling you, I'm going to do all of these things, but on the opposite side is that big if you follow my rules, but I will be very clear about what those rules are. I'm not going to leave you in the dark. I'm going to tell you very specifically what you need to do. And if you follow that, I will bless you. And if you do not follow it, I will not bless you. You will reap curses. And it is not about you wanting these things, because I know, Israel, what God was thinking, I know in mind you want that because the carnal mind will want that, but will you do it? And that's one of the examples we need to take away from that. Because Israel wanted it. They want all the good stuff. They wanted those things, but they didn't want to do those things, and they couldn't do those things, because they just had a carnal mind. And that is part of what we take away from that, is we might want the kingdom of God. We might see all of these good things, the good news of the coming kingdom of God, and I want it, but it's not going to happen if that's all that we do is we want. We have to do. Now, the problem is, for us to do is very, very difficult because we have a raging and a strong carnal mind, and we have a down payment of God's Holy Spirit, so we'll have some power and vision and strength to be able to do things differently. But I'm telling you, and you probably know this yourself, if you are not focused every day, are you doing the right things in mind? If I'm not, I don't do it, and I know I don't do it because that's the carnal mind. So Israel, that is the story of us. That is how we look at all of those examples and said, what do I have to do today? How can I learn? Because another amazing thing is everything that they did, everything that God recorded is for you and for me, right? Us individually. This whole Bible, this is written for us today. It wasn't written for anybody else primarily. Do you find that an amazing fact? Every day, if you pick up your Bible, if you see that, can you see the kingdom of God a little more clearly? Because this is the instruction manual of what God is saying. Just follow this and you'll be better off. Israel couldn't do that. Now, we see the example that Jesus Christ could do that, and he did do that because he had that right and his proper vision of mind of what his job was and how to do it. So where are we? If we're really honest with ourselves, where are we? Closer to what Israel did or closer to what Jesus Christ did? And in mind, isn't it easy for us to say, I am so much closer to what Jesus Christ did? You know why? Because I've been called. I've been baptized. I'm sacrificing. I'm putting on the nature and character of God. And if I look at myself from years ago to it now, I'm so much better. I thought I was good back then, but I'm not so good, but I'm better now, so I've got to be closer to the Christ side. And that same line of thinking would be the same thing if we said, oh yes, if I was one of the apostles when Jesus Christ walked this earth, I would have spotted him just like I can see the sun come up in the morning. Or if Elijah was preaching a repentance message, I would have heard him and I would have repented just like Elijah said. Because it makes me feel good to think that I would be one of those, one of the faithful ones and one of the strong ones. And when we think that, we can easily deceive ourselves, because that, in essence, is the trap that Israel was in. And if we follow that same mode of thinking, we can deceive ourselves into improperly thinking where our standing is with God. Because remember, it doesn't really matter what we think. It matters what God knows and what God sees. So our job is to make sure we better see ourselves the way God sees us. So what do we think that is? That's a takeaway question for all of us. Where do we think we really are? Which comes into play. What do we really see? Because we know. We know a lot, absolutely. But what do we actually see? And by that I mean comprehend. What do we actually comprehend? Well, compare ourselves again to Israel, because they knew a lot of information. They had the Ten Commandments, the statutes, the laws, the judgments. We know and we have the revealed truth. Is there any doctrine here that anybody doesn't really know? Maybe not the minutia of every single thing, but is there something here that we're lacking? Is there something about God's plan of salvation that we are not aware of? No. All those fundamental doctrines, is there anything that we don't know? Of course not. We've got it all. Now, hopefully, year after year after year, we learn it in a richer and a more meaningful way, but we understand all of those things. If we understand those things, can we get a little bit lazy? The answer is yes. And how can we get lazy? I'm here at the feast. Every Sabbath, I attend services. I'm doing these things. How am I lazy? How about our daily mindset? In the morning, through the day, and in the evening, what are we thinking about? Most of the time, it's probably the stuff that we have to do and our issues and our challenges in life. Maybe if I get up in the morning and I have my prayer routine at that point in time, I'm focusing on God and I'll put some time into that. What happens after that? Do I just forget about God and leave him there on my bedside and go off for my rest of my day figuring out I've got to do this task and that task and whatever other thing I have to do, work or at home, family, whatever it is, and somehow I'm not even thinking about God until I retire at night? If any of you do that, or if I do that, we are in danger. We're in danger because our mind is not focused on the right things. Or do you think about God through the day, all the time? Do you pray constantly through the day, meditation, take little breaks here and there, to keep God focused in your mind? Because the key is, if we are alive and if we're awake for all these hours through the day, every single moment that we are alive is an opportunity that we can show God that we are putting on some of his character. And how do we put on his character? Because we're in a situation where we want to do our things and think our way. That's not character. That's just being human. And God is saying, I am giving you an opportunity, a training period, to become like me. And if we're not thinking of God throughout the day, what's the likelihood that automatically we're going to respond in the right way? It's probably not high. However we do it, there's no right way one way, there's no wrong way another way. But if we say we see the kingdom of God, are we seeing it just because we have knowledge of it, or do we see it because in mind the vision is so clear, like it was to Jesus Christ? Every single moment, we know what our job is. Now, can we do that? I don't think we can without a full measure of the Holy Spirit. if we have that down payment and if we are growing and strengthening spiritually, can we do it more? We absolutely can do it more. So that's right. That's the vision. That's the vision of the kingdom of God that we have. What are you really looking for, though? Simple question. The good news of the coming kingdom of God, it is good news, and we've heard so many reasons of why it is good. Do you believe that? I believe it's true. The kingdom of God is something that we want to come and we want to be a part of. But what are you looking for in that kingdom? What do you really want? Have you ever asked yourself that question and answered it? Because I think it's a really insightful question, and it might reveal a lot about ourselves when we really think about it. Here are some basic answers, and let me know if you've thought of any of these things. And maybe it's only part of what you thought about, maybe it's everything you thought about. Number one, the coming kingdom of God, I want to be a part of it, to be part of the God family. Yes. Number two, to be a king and a priest forever with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Well, yeah, I want that too. Here's an excellent one too. To be filled with the Holy Spirit and live in eternity with the traits and characteristics of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so forth. Do you want that? Because that is part of the kingdom of God, right? And we want those things. We want to reduce all the bad things that we read in Galatians chapter 5. All of those things God has promised us, we want those things, right? Have I missed anything? I mean, that kind of encompasses it a lot, right? Part of the kingdom of God, eternal life, living with all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, joy, happiness for eternity. I want all those things. I want to have all those things. God wants to give me all those things. What am I missing? In that statement, I am missing a very important aspect. I'm going to read from the Revised Standard Version, but turn to Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, and this will be the answer. For the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. Are we only looking for what we can get from the kingdom of God? Or are we looking for what we can give in the kingdom of God? Have you ever thought this? I want to inherit eternal life and have all the attributes of the Holy Spirit so that when I have all of those traits and characteristics, I can serve the family of God. Have you ever said that? Or is it always, I want eternal life, I want love, I want joy, I want peace, I want all these good things that God you're giving to me, I have thought that in the past. I have not thought, you know what? I want to be God as God is so I can serve the God family. And how did I miss that? Because Jesus Christ said through the Apostle Mark that he came down here to serve. That was his purpose. I totally missed it. So do you think service in the family of God is an important and fundamental trait that we have to want? It absolutely is. In this lifetime now, with the challenges that we face, if we say we see the kingdom of God and we want the kingdom of God, we are going to have this attribute of service to others. And that is not a new concept, is it? That is not a new concept. Maybe by thinking of this, though, I want the kingdom of God to serve the God family will reorient us a little bit in how we think and do things. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14. For brethren, You have been called unto liberty, right? Freedom from the carnal mind, because you have the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Only use not the liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't take advantage of it. Don't use it improperly. But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Simple. We've heard this millions of times before. But have we really gotten it in the same way? Have we really seen it in the way that God wants to see us to see it? Because we know God is love, and Christ came to serve others. And if we want to love the brothers and sisters of Christ, we have to serve them. And there are multiple ways in which we can serve. And our first thought is, what can I do physically for somebody? And we can. Mentally and emotionally, how can we serve each other? That's how Christ is serving us today. That is one of the things which we'll get into that we need to do to serve each other and to serve God properly too. So that's something about the kingdom of God that we need to see and see a little bit differently. But what do you think the kingdom of God really is? Because if we could sit there and say, okay, the kingdom of God is this thing in the future, and I want to be a part of it, and I want to serve. What do I do now about it? Because what do I think the kingdom actually is? The Bible makes many references. I pulled out over 70 different times in the New Testament when it talks about the kingdom of God in various ways. So we know it's important. It's a lot of times. The kingdom of God, in one aspect, is the literal government of God ruling this earth during the millennium. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ will set up his government. He will rule it with an iron fist. Rules and laws will apply. But why will those rules and laws apply? Why do we follow the rules and the laws? And what's so important about those rules and the law? It shows us what to do. And it shows us how to think. And we can sit there and say, what a glorious time, right? We've heard this in the past. Not everybody's going to like the millennial reign. How can that be? If you are in a perfect state, the world has been restored or is in the process of being restored, Jesus Christ is ruling this earth with love and with happiness, and he is opening every single human's minds to understand who he is and what he wants to be. It's the promised land, right? It's the promised land of those that are living during the millennium. Israel was offered a promised land, though, too, weren't they? And Israel didn't like living in the promised land. That is why we've heard that there are a number of individuals living through the millennial reign that won't think it's the promised land either. Why? Because the philosophy of God's government is something that they don't want to follow. The rules and the laws represent a way of thinking. And a lot of people don't want to subscribe to it 100%. And that is the example of Israel as well, too. So yes, the kingdom of God is God's physical government coming down to reign on this earth. That's one aspect that's important. There's another aspect to it that is extremely important and something that we have to know. The kingdom of God is a mindset. The kingdom of God is a way of thinking. So when Jesus Christ was walking this earth and he said, the kingdom of God is among you, what do you think he meant? Because people at that time were saying, what do you mean the kingdom of God is here? We're still under the Roman rule and oppression of the Romans. He was talking about a philosophy, the mindset, the thinking, the mind of God was among you and was teaching you. So the kingdom of God also is a way of thinking. So if we say, kingdom of God, I want to be a part of it. Good news about the coming kingdom of God. It is good news and we want to have it. The real question then is, do we want to have that mindset? Because that means, do we want to have the mind of God? And unfortunately, a lot of people don't, because that's human nature. So we need to think like God thinks. So how do we do that? And we'll go through some things today to see, are we more on track thinking like God or not? And if you're anything like me, you're going to see a whole lot of failure. I want every one of you to see failure through the things that I say today. Because it is only through that failure that we're going to see ourselves a little more properly and then be able to see what God wants us to become. So we're not deceiving ourselves. So we can take a look back and say, what was life like before we were called? In some ways, life before we were called was pretty easy, wasn't it? I mean, we had challenges, maybe we had some issues, but for the most part, couldn't we do whatever we wanted? I mean, there were moral boundaries depending on our upbringing and work scenarios, and there are certain societal boundaries that we had, absolutely. But what we thought about, we could do whatever we wanted, right? Before you were called, could you hate whoever you wanted? Sure. Before you were called, could you ignore somebody because you wanted to? Yeah. That's kind of nice too, wasn't it? Before you were called, when you ran into somebody in some social situation, you're like, I don't really like them. Our personalities just don't click. Hey, you go your way, I'll go my way. And you know what? We'll wave to each other. It's like a good neighbor. We'll wave to each other back and forth, and I feel pretty good about myself because I was happy and I smiled and I waved, and I'm a good Christian or a good Buddhist or Muslim, whatever your religion was, right? But I feel good about myself because I am not hating them. I'm not doing anything bad to them. And I'm a good person. And that made life easy. Wasn't it kind of nice to think that way? Do any of us want to think that way now? And by nature, the answer is yes. And if we can't see that, we're going to have a little bit of a stumbling block in front of us. The power and influence of the Holy Spirit is going to help us see past that. But if we see that trait, we're going to be in better stead in God's eyes. But it was easier back then because we didn't have to fight against our carnal minds, number one. And also, we didn't have the influence of Satan the devil reigning over us. Which is why, in some ways, we can look around at our neighbors and our co-workers and other individuals and say, they're good people. They do good things. Boy, if they demonstrated all of those characteristics and traits in our church, they would be some of the good ones. Why can they do that and we can't? I look around people here in our organization and say, oh, am I missing something? What is going wrong? Well, there's two things that are going on but not going wrong. Number one, who do you think God called? The weak, the base. It doesn't mean the most intelligent people are not, but he called a lot of people that have some serious issues with character. And he did that intentionally. Now, when we were baptized and we were put under that water, were we dunked underwater or did we kill ourselves symbolically because we saw what we were and we were rotten in character and we said, God, I see myself and I am rotten to the core as a person, worse than my neighbors out there, worse than my coworkers, but now you've given me a way in which I can become better, right? Because I can't become better until I see what I was. And God is putting this body together, and there's a whole bunch of different people here together. And in the world, maybe some of us were better than others, fine. The way God sees us, though, we're all pretty rotten. But isn't that what God is doing? Is taking the low and the base and giving the opportunity for the mind of God to be within them, reside within them. And if that happens, then there'll be a reflected glory to those around. Oh, absolutely. That's what he's doing. So that's number one. We're not good people by nature, but we can become like Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. And then number two, please never forget this as well. Number two, every single one of us are faced by the demonic onslaught of Satan and his demons every day. And we'll get into this in a second probably, but how does he do it? Through thoughts and emotions. Thoughts and emotions in which we don't think because they feel so right to us. Satan may even start to instill thoughts in our minds with the goal of 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road for it to cause a problem. He doesn't have to do it right away. And in fact, that's the more insidious plans to do that because he'll drive a wedge initially. And that wedge will feel fine because that's how we are by nature. And that wedge starts to divide. And maybe it takes years and years, but at some point that wedge is pretty far. And guess what? He's got us hooked. That is the insidiousness of Satan the devil. That's why it's harder now. And that's sometimes why we stumble even more, because we have a higher bar and we have more resistance. And if Satan's not inspiring us in one way or the other, it is just our rotten human mind. The point of me saying this right now, though, is if we can see that, then I think we can truly see the kingdom of God, which God wants us to see, because he wants us to have it. So why do we struggle with so many of the things that we struggle with? A whole host of reasons. And maybe we're just bad at doing some of these things. Maybe we have some issues of mind and makes it very, very difficult to do some of these things. That's a possibility too. Maybe we just don't see the kingdom of God the way we're supposed to see it every day, and we get tripped up like Israel did with the cares of our lives, and we lose a little bit of the vision of what we're supposed to do, and we get sidetracked. Happens to all of us. The question is, how often does it happen to us? Peace of mind is a very important thing. And we heard the other day, well, first with all the curses in Deuteronomy 28, over 30 verses of curses that applies to all of us today, spiritually. How Mr. Cole really applied that is, if we have constant issues of mind, whatever that is, frustration, anxiety, doubt, bitterness, anything in that negative realm. And he said, if that happens to you, and if you like that a lot, and you can't shake those feelings and thoughts, it's your heart. It's not someone else's fault or someone else's issue. It is your heart, which then means it is your mind. And no, it doesn't mean that other person is doing the right thing or not making mistakes, but that's not God. What God's judging us on. Those curses, Deuteronomy 28, are real, and that's how basically Mr. Cole was explaining it. And you can sit there, and I want to say it too, but that's not me, though. But why? Do we see it or do we not? Do we really see ourselves or not? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3, where we're going to read verses 15 and 16. And does this describe you? And you're going to say no. But before you say no, think about it. Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. And this is God talking. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Are you lukewarm to God's way of life? Are you cold to God's way of life, or are you hot for God's way of life? Only you can make that determination. God's given you and me the ability to do that. One way in which we can understand that, here's a question for all of us. Do you have peace of mind and happiness through all of your struggles? Yes or no? Do you have total peace of mind and happiness through all of your struggles? I only know of one person that did. And that person is our example. And that person is Jesus Christ, right? So let's think of our meter again. And we're talking about an offense meter, a love meter, whatever. Let's think of a peace of mind meter, a happiness meter. What side of it are we on? Are we on the side that's closer to Jesus Christ that was 100% happy, even though he was blasphemed, mocked, ridiculed, spat on, but he still left us our peace? Because a perfect spiritual mind will never be offended. It will always have joy and always have happiness and be able to deal with the other issues, but it will be like God. Are we more towards that side or are we more towards the other side? Because the reality is, if we have constant problems of mind, if we have lack of peace, if we have lack of joy, the secret answer is you are weak spiritually. You are a weak one. You are not a strong one in God's spiritual body. You are not a pillar of his body. You are a weak one, or maybe even a babe in Christ. And maybe that's all of us. I don't know the range, right? But if God is saying, let this mind be in you, and if that mind was never personally offended, but we are always somehow, we always have something going on in our minds, is that what God wants us to be like? How can we be that way if God says, take my peace? I want you to have an abundant life. Yes, you are going to have trials and issues and problems, but I want to give you the power to overcome it. So what's the best way for all of us to think about ourselves? Say, I want the kingdom of God. I want the mind of God. I'm a weak one of God. How about that one? I'm a weak one of God because I've got mental problems. I don't have all the joy that I should have. I don't have all the peace of mind that I should have. I don't have all the goodness that I should have. If I recognize that, what can I do about it? How about we ask God for help? How about we don't take matters into our own hands? How about we don't try to decide right from wrong for ourselves and how to get ourselves out of that situation? How about we ask God to help us? And if we do, do you think he will? I know he will. So the root of that, as we get into some characteristics, right? If we want the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God is a mindset, we have to have a certain mindset and a way of thinking. So I want to start at the very base level. And let's just be honest with ourselves, right? The root of many of our problems, maybe the root of all of our problems, is because we don't get what we want. It is a simple statement, but it is a declaration of carnal nature. We have a problem because we don't get what we want. Is what we want good? Sure, it can be. Is what we want a godly thing? Sure, it can be. But for whatever reason, we don't have it. And that's a problem. Do you disagree with that? I challenge you to prove me wrong. Use any biblical concept, the mind of God attributes, and tell me how I'm wrong, because the Bible tells us this is true. It doesn't mean that what we want is wrong, though. We just don't have it. So the question is, if we don't have it, what do we do about it? Can we sacrifice our minds like Jesus Christ did to his? That's what he wants us to do. Can we sacrifice our minds like Jesus Christ? Now we know, the Apostle James said, count it all a joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And great, the best is when it's not by our own doing. But whether it's our own doing or not our own doing, what is God telling us to do? He's saying, you are going to have problems. I'm going to make sure you have problems, because it's only by having problems that you can demonstrate and grow in character. Only by having problems is when you can actually see what you're doing wrong. And maybe you'll do that wrong for the rest of your life. I don't know. But that's the only way. The only way to strengthen is to have an abrasive against you, forcing you to choose or recognize or see something. So that happens, and we know we don't get what we want. All right. What can I say then are two significant reasons then, either we don't get what we want, or two significant reasons why we don't have peace of mind? Do you know what they are? I mean, we can all have different ones, but what are two prime reasons why we don't have peace of mind? Number one is people, right? People! If I didn't have someone else around me, I would be okay. If someone didn't hurt me, I would be okay. If someone didn't annoy me, I would be okay. If someone didn't frustrate me, I would be okay. If someone didn't make me have long suffering, I would be okay. If people did everything I wanted them to do, I would be okay. But that's not life, is it? No. And it's intentional that way. So number one, why do I have issues? I have issues because of people. How do I get rid of everybody? You can't. Well, if you do, there's another problem. Go off to an island and see in the lake of fire. But you can't. And then that comes into number two, which ties into number one as well, too. Why do we not have peace of mind? It's because we don't have the things that we want. Physically or emotionally, we don't have the things that we want. Now, what I said right there, those two things, is that anything different that you've heard before? No. Maybe a little different way, but everything we've heard in messages and we've read in monthly letters or articles through various times, that's just God's word. Because what is this saying? This is saying human nature. Human nature means I don't like other people, they rub me the wrong way, and I want my stuff. And God is saying, no. You're going to be around people, and you're not going to have some of the stuff that you want. And you're going to kick and scream and complain, and I'm going to watch you and judge you on it. But by the way, I'm going to tell you what you need to do about it. Which means what? The root of our problems is the self. Is that anything new? That's not anything new. The root of all of our problems is the self, which is why Mr. Cole was saying it's a rotten heart, which is a correlation to all the curses in Deuteronomy 28, because it all comes back to us and our hearts, because our hearts will reflect how we feel about other people and not having the stuff that we want. That understanding and achieving those things or overcoming those things is conversion. Simple. Hard to do. Simple to understand. So people, they can sure be an issue. And when it comes to people, couple things. One, take a sidetrack. We know God said to love all of our brothers and sisters, and we know that's a very difficult thing to do. I think we really need to see and understand the importance of what God means by that, and how important it is to God for that, for us to do that. More important than we've ever thought. It can actually be a qualification issue if we extend it out, and if we don't extend love to our brothers and sisters in a certain way because there's something residing in our hearts. We'll get to some of those details, but that could end up being a qualification issue, because we're not doing what God told us to do and what we're supposed to do. So there's headwinds and there's challenges. I want to give you a couple bits of information that Mr. Raymond Cole mentioned. It's in his long-suffering series, number 3. The first thing is pretty easy, because we know this. This ties in the concept of loving our brothers and sisters. And he says, you know what? We don't have a right to dislike a brother or sister in the body. That is true. We don't have a right to dislike another brother or sister in the body. And we've heard that before, and we'll try to work on that. Great. Let's take it up another notch, though. There's something else that he mentioned which was really insightful. And if we're being honest with ourselves, well, this is going to be a tough one to admit and or do. We don't have a right to dislike anyone's personality. God gave us no right to do that. So, is there anybody amongst us in the body, collective spiritual body of Jesus Christ, whose personality you just don't really like so much? Kind of rubs you wrong a little bit because you just don't really click. Does that happen to any of you? Of course it does. That's why God put us all here together. Mr. Raymond Cole was saying God gave you no right to think that. Because when you think that, you are not loving your brother and sister the proper way. You are being partial, and you are not putting on the mind of Jesus Christ. Is that an extremely difficult thing to do? You bet it is. Absolutely. Is that new way of thinking for everyone? I hope so. Because it's not just about do I love or do I not love. Am I reacting in a certain way because of someone's personality? Because remember the number one thing, people? They annoy me, they agitate me, because their personality rubs me the wrong way. And Mr. Cole was clarifying that God said, you have no right and you are wrong when you think that way. I'm going to say that's a hard saying because that's going to be a hard one to do. It's an impossible thing to do if we just try to do it ourselves. It is possible to make advancements with the power of the Holy Spirit. But the only way to do that is if we recognize it. So are we properly sacrificing for the kingdom of God? Are we properly viewing ourselves to gain the kingdom of God? Are we properly changing our minds in the way that we want to become part of the kingdom of God? Because it represents this way of thinking that we need to change our minds. So if I go back to the initial quote that I said earlier, if we don't sacrifice for what we want becomes a sacrifice. If I expand that out, if we don't sacrifice the carnal mind for the kingdom of God will be sacrificed and we will not be a part of it. So sacrificing our carnal minds is the number one thing we have to do. That is not new. But can we do it better? And maybe a little differently? Can we view ourselves and others a little bit differently? So when any other issue comes up, we can sit there and say, well, what do I have to do in my mind now to gain the kingdom of God? Maybe I have to think about this brother or sister differently. Maybe I have to think about myself a little bit differently. Because if I do that, maybe I'm thinking more like Jesus Christ, which is what he told me to do. Or I can go to my pre-called way of thinking and say, I'm going to pick some of this stuff to do, and I'm going to pick this stuff to do. And overall, I'm following God's law pretty well, so I'm in good standing with him. Because I'm deciding right for wrong for myself. I'm judging what I have to follow versus what I don't have to follow. Because God says follow everything 100%. Impossible for us to do. But if we think about it, maybe we will respond a little bit differently. So there are certain traits of mind that we absolutely cannot have if we want to be a part of the kingdom of God. And certain things happen when we don't like people around us, when we don't get our stuff that we want, and the carnal mind can react. And it does react. How do we know when it's reacting in the wrong way? How do we know when Satan is influencing us to think the wrong way? Are there telltale signs for that? And there are. And I'm going to repeat a number of these things here without going into a whole lot of detail. More details in the April monthly 2024 letter that I wrote, which is really just lifting information from Mr. Cole, what he wrote before, because he's just telling us, what is carnal nature? How do we see it when we do it? And when Satan and his demons are influencing us, how can we recognize it? Because isn't that an important thing? We need to know when Satan the devil is influencing us. When does that happen? I'm going to call this the bad list. And we don't want to be on the bad list, but we are on the bad list. And our goal is to remove ourselves a little bit from the bad list. Because the bad list is the carnal list. The more we remove ourselves from the bad list, the more we gain understanding and thinking for the kingdom of God. So shift from bad and shift to good. Simple concept. Don't look to the person that you left, right, forward, behind. Think of yourself. I'm going to go through a couple things. Number one, anytime we create conflict or division. How many of you failed that today? One way or another, physically, verbally, mentally, anytime we cause conflict or division. If we misinterpret what others have said, and we don't ask for clarification, and it causes us to think negatively of somebody. Whenever we expose the difficulties or problems of somebody else, because you just want to talk about it. When we make accusations. When we make statements or have thoughts of bitterness, hatred, or resentment. When we are intolerant of others, here's that people problem again. We're intolerant because they annoy us. Their quirks annoy us. Their inconsistencies annoy us. So we're not tolerant. Anytime we criticize others, and why would we criticize others? Because we don't like what they're doing. It annoys us. It frustrates us. They're not doing the right thing, so we criticize them. If we're full of suspicions and mistrust, if we know all the answers before other perspectives are known, I perceive the situation so I know it is right. Bad, 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 bad person, because I know I'm right. Do you? What about the other person's perspective? Do you know that? Maybe God revealed it to you, and good for you if he did. Probably not, though. If we have a constant corrective attitude towards others, they're not doing things our way. If we find more joy in physical things than spiritual things, that's a problem. And this is kind of a capstone of the carnal mind. And this is one of the ways Satan the devil will catch us. When feelings become facts in our minds, we feel it, so it is. And normally, we feel negative things. And negative things are strong things in our minds. And when we feel it, and we feel it strong, and we just know that it is true, and there's any sense of negativity towards somebody else, that's a big danger zone. That is one of the most effective ways for Satan to ensnare us. And maybe it takes a week, and maybe it takes 20 years. But if you or I let our feelings become facts in mind because we're not looking at the perspective of somebody else, we're not looking at their viewpoint, we are assuming God's prerogative of knowing right from wrong, and God said, don't do it. But it's going to feel so right, and this is why Satan is so effective at it. Because it feels good. And if it feels good and it appears good, it has to be right. Doesn't it? If I'm so convicted by it, I'm convicted by this just as much as I know God is real, just as much I know I need to observe the Sabbath day, so it is so real I am right. And I know I'm right. And the more I know I'm right, do you know what Satan's going to be doing behind us in mind? Yeah, you are right. Keep at it. God loves you. You're doing a good job. And I'm going to think, hey, I'm putting on the traits of the Holy Spirit. I am doing good. And Satan's just reeling you and me in. And that's how he does it. And it can take years. So all I'm saying, that list is the carnal mind. And again, that's nothing new. But if this is us, but at the same time, we're saying, I want to be part of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, yes, it is a physical kingdom to this earth, but it is a mindset. If I want this mindset, but I'm on the bad list, what do I do? How can I start to remove myself from the bad list? Because the more that we do that, the more we are adopting the mindset of God, which is the kingdom of God mindset. And we only learn to do that and have the ability to do that when abrasives are in our lives. We can only do it when there's an obstacle. If it were easy, what's the point of conversion? Because conversion is changing from one thing going into something else, right? So God said, you are something that I don't want you to be. I made your nature in a way that I don't want it to be. I made your nature to be like Satan the devil. I want you to change it. I want you to convert to something different. That different is and will be in the kingdom of God. Do you want it? Do you see it? And God is saying, I will help you with that. So if we don't sacrifice our minds in the right way, we're not going to be in the kingdom of God. Every single one of us is sacrificing. Yes, that's true. But if we don't sacrifice in the right ways and in the right amounts, it could all be worthless. Matthew chapter 23, let's read verses 27 and 28. Matthew 23 and verses 27 and 28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. What Mr. Cole was talking about. The result of that are the curses from Deuteronomy chapter 28. 30 of them. And what God is saying is, you got my law, you know my law, but what's in your heart? We don't always know that. And let's turn over to Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. I'm going to read from the New International Version, so it'll be a little bit different, but it clarifies it nicely. This is one avenue of an outcropping and an outpouring of that, but other ways apply. A good man brings good things out of the goods stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I like the way that describes it. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of, and that's exactly what is being described here in Matthew 23, and that's the root of what Mr. Cole was saying. Whatever's in the heart comes out. What do we say more often than not? What comes out of our mouths more than not? It is a reflection of what's inside the heart. And what comes out, if it's a reflection of the heart, guess what? It means it's something that Satan knows and he's going to instigate. Because Satan, unless you're possessed, Satan's not going to make you do anything. He can enhance you doing what you want to do. And if the root of your heart is not right, he's going to instigate and something's going to come out. And in Luke, in the International Version, saying, it's going to come out in what you say. So what is it? Good or bad? Am I hot or cold? Is Christ going to spew me out or not? So if these things are happening, what do I do? If these things are happening, and the number one issue in my life is people, how do I respond to people? Because I know God said, be like me. Be joyous, be peaceful, be happy, be like me. Great, I want to be like you, but how do I do it? And there's a lot of different ways. I'm going to go over a couple things, a two-step process here that will help. And maybe you'll find your own version of way. Great, add to it, change it, modify it. But this has helped some other individuals and is only taking things that we have learned along the way. And I'm just repackaging a little bit. But when you are involved with people, right? And or if you don't have the stuff that you want, how am I thinking? Do these two steps. Because these two things represent a kingdom of God mindset. So if you want the kingdom of God mindset, do these two things or something similar and you will make gains. If God is leading you. Part one, and we need to do this. Jesus Christ didn't do that because he read hearts and minds. Part number one, and there's five subsections to it. Number one of part one. Something maybe we've heard before. Give benefit of the doubt. Give benefit of the doubt. And I can't tell you how many times Mr. Raymond Cole said that, and there was a reason he said that. And there were a lot of times he said, you know what, I'm going to give benefit of the doubt, and even if I am wrong, so what? I'm not going to spin out of control mentally. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It'll come out, and God will deal with that other individual, fine. But at the onset, give benefit of the doubt. And then number two, refrain from accusing somebody if you don't know all the facts and if you don't know their perspective. Number three, resist criticizing anybody else, but show gentleness and kindness. And that's a real tough one to do. Number four, sometimes even harder, assume the best intent from somebody else. So just with these four, if I give benefit of the doubt, if I don't accuse somebody, if I don't criticize them, and I assume the best intent, and I show gentleness and kindness, am I personally going to be in a better state of mind when people are doing things that I don't like? And I will be. I'm not even addressing the wrongs that they're doing. That's not the point. The point is our minds. Don't let someone control your mind. You control your mind through the power of the Holy Spirit. And do these four things. And add number five, which is be merciful, kind, forgiving, and empathetic. And the only way we can do that is to understand someone else's perspective. Does it mean we have to agree with their perspective? No. Does it mean they have to be right? No. But again, I'm not dealing with them in this context right here. I'm dealing with you, and I'm dealing with me. How can we have a better mindset? Start with these five things, and you are going to be better than not. But sometimes, it's not true. The other person is wrong. So we go through this list of five things and say, wrong, 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 wrong. I did this. I did this. It's not working out. That other person, you are just flat wrong. You did something you shouldn't have. Character weakness popped out that it shouldn't have. Whatever the flaw is, it just was wrong. And it is known, not because I feel it, but it is wrong. then can I react negatively? And the answer is no. So what do we do then? What is our spiritual responsibility at that point? Can we sacrifice our carnal mind? And first thing, say this, because this is going to take a sacrifice of mind. And if we do this, maybe it means we want the kingdom of God. And if we can't do this, maybe we don't want the kingdom of God. Maybe we are lukewarm. Somebody is wrong. Fine. First five things didn't work out. First thing I should think of. Here is a brother or sister in Christ that fell to their carnal mind. It dominated them and they did something or said something that they shouldn't have done. Number one, acknowledge that. Because on the flip side, has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. But if we think of that immediately, what does that do to us? Automatically, that causes us to think of somebody else as opposed to ourselves. We're not focusing on ourselves. We're not being selfish, which this is the definition of it, because any kind of negativity, offense, whatever, selfishness, because our self gets hurt and we are responding. So someone did something that we don't like and I react. Yeah, that's the natural way to do. But if I can pause that and say, oh, you just got ravaged by your carnal mind. You just got enhanced by Satan the devil. You did this for the 5 millionth time and it's still happening. But I get it, because I fail too. I am now thinking of you and not me. Do you think that would help you? I know it'll help you. It's helped me and it's helped others. Number two then, acknowledge they experienced weakness because you do too, and I also do. Let's turn to Mark 11 and verse 26. We touched on this last time, but this is a very important thing. Mark 11 and verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. There's nothing new about that. God is saying you need to forgive your brother and sister if you want me to forgive you. How do we forgive them? Go through this two-step process. And if nothing works, if they are just wrong, 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 if we can focus on them and saying, yeah, but they're being ravaged by their carnal mind and they are weak. They are a weak one at this moment. Maybe I can be a little stronger spiritually and help them. Maybe I can serve them. I can serve my brother and sister by responding this way and not selfishly or carnally. But to do that requires a massive sacrifice of the carnal mind. Are you up for the job? Honest question. Are you up for the job? Do you want to do it? What if someone does something one time? Easy to do. What if they do it five times? It's a little harder, doesn't it? What if they do it 500 times? What if they do it every day for a year? 5 years? 10 years? 20 years? You ever get to a point where you say, I've had enough. I have had enough. I've been merciful. I've been kind. I've been patient over and over and over. And this time, that's it. I'm done. I've had enough. I'm going to step away. I'm moving on. Anytime you think that or want to think that, think of this. Have this image in your mind. Jesus Christ is looking down at you and sinning every single day, and he said, you know what? You've done this for your entire lifetime. This is 50, 60, 70 years. I'm done. I've had enough of you. I've told you what to do, and you said you wanted to do it, and you said you're trying to do it, and you kept messing up and failing, and I was there supporting you. I was trying to help you. I was being kind to you. I was being long-suffering to you, but at this point, you know, I've had enough. I'm done with you. If you don't want Jesus Christ to do that to you, and if I don't want Jesus Christ to do it to me, we can't do it to each other. Which means what? That means it's a real sacrifice of mind, right? This way of life is the hardest thing that we will ever do. And why is it the hardest thing we'll ever do? Not because we have to take some time off from work from time to time. Not because we're going to get fired from our job from time to time if we don't observe the Sabbath. It's because we have to change our mindset. We have to change our mindset into a kingdom of God mindset. So do you want to do it? But not do you want to do it. Do you want to do it revelation hot? Do it. Not revelation cold, do it. Not revelation mediocre, do it. Because either way, if you do that cold or mediocre, God's going to spew you out of his mouth. So do you see? Do you now see a little bit better, a little bit clearer? Even through all of that, Jesus Christ still loved. And he still loves, doesn't he? And how simple of it is of a concept for us to, for Jesus Christ to say, be like me. Okay, I'll be like you. But what does it really mean to be like Jesus Christ? Right here. This is what it means. And if we can do this a little bit better, if we can do this, we will be more like Jesus Christ. Which means it is a total sacrifice of mind. Now, was anything I said today different or new? No. Maybe what I said today makes us think about things a little bit differently. Because we all committed to Jesus Christ that we want to be a part of his family. Were you serious about that commitment? Yes. To honor that commitment, this is what we need to do. Are you up for the job? It's your choice. And it's my choice. Because God's going to give you the power. He's going to give you the insight and the knowledge of how to do it, when to do it, why to do it. The question is, do you want to do it? So later today, right now, next week, ask yourself that question. Is this what I want to do? Because to do this is conversion. If I don't want to do this, why be here? If you don't want to do this, does God want you? I'm not saying do it perfectly. If you don't want to do this, does God want you? The answer is no. He doesn't want you. He wants you to want to be like him. And we've got to put forth that effort to be like him. And remember it in this way. When God gives you the power of his mind, the insight, the knowledge, the power of his mind, what are you going to do with it? It's all reflected on what we do now, not how well we accomplish it, but that inside burning desire. I want to be like God, which means I want my mind to be like this. I'm going to fight every single day to be like this, which is to be like Jesus Christ. And if that's my burning desire, when I have the power to do it, I'm going to do it properly. And God's going to say, you will be faithful in my kingdom and you won't be a rebel like Satan the devil. So the question is, do you want it? which means, do you want to sacrifice your carnal mind enough for it? If you do, God will be there for you. If you do, God will not fail you. If you do, God will grant you sonship in his family. But he's giving us all a choice. Do you choose to sacrifice your minds in the way that God told us to? I hope so. I hope we all do. Because if we all do, we can all become part of God's family. So, brethren, we have our work cut out for us. We also have God's love and power. And we have each other. We'll not focus on the bad people part of it. We'll focus on the good people part of it. We have each other, and we need each other, which is one reason why God said to love each other, because we can't do this on our own. So let's do all this together, and we will see more of the glory of God and the kingdom of God.
The Church of God, the Eternal, has just presented Sacrifice for the Kingdom No. 3, a message given by Mr. Robert Burke, for the morning service of the fifth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, in Townsend, Tennessee, October 11th, 2025.